The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift our hands and bless the name of the Lord. God is faithful. Let's bless Him. Ask for mighty utterance in this meeting. Mighty utterance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now listen, utterance is the greatest, is one of the greatest needs of any Christian meeting. Right? Because once there is utterance, there will be revelation. Once there is utterance, every other thing flows. Right? Utterance is that God's word is spoken. Right? You're praying that the word of God will be spoken, that it comes out clearly. It comes out clearly. It comes out clearly. And it is directed at the right people. So when the word of God is spoken and it goes to the people you should get to, it begs revelation and every other thing will follow. So one of the things you pray all the time when you cover Christian meetings is that there is utterance for the pastor. Are you following me? Utterance for the pastor. Paul prayed that prayer a lot. That a door of utterance be open unto me. And utterance is not a difficult English. Utter means to speak. That's utterance, to speak. So you're praying that the right words are spoken at the right time to the right people. You know, you can say the right things to the wrong people. Right? You can give the wrong, right counsel to the wrong people. Okay? But when the right counsel, the right words, you see, spoken to the right people, people are blessed, people are changed. So just lift your hands for 1 minute and pray for mighty utterance to be released. That there is utterance in this meeting, that the right words are spoken, that will bring about understanding, that will bring about clarity, that the right words are spoken. Ephesians 6 verse 19. He said, just keep praying. Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's your prayer. If you read that place with the New Living Translation, it says, pray for me to ask God to give me the right words. That's utterance. The right words. Pray that the right words be spoken to you this evening. That the right words be spoken to you. Even this evening. The right words. That pastor speaks the right words. That's what brings about revelation. That's what brings about strengthening. Everything you are looking for in a meeting are found in the words spoken. If there's going to be a healing, it will be spoken forth. If there will be deliverance, it will be spoken forth. If there will be restoration, it will be spoken forth. If there will be revelation, it will come by utterance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I say in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me say, this is my Bible. Uh-huh. So where is your Bible? This is my Bible. Shout it. Come, yeah, bring your Bible. Go down and so you can hold your Bible so I don't escape this. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. See, today, I will be taught the word of God. I will be edified. I will be blessed. See, it is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. I have clarity by God's word. In Jesus' name, shout a big amen. There's not in many Christian circles these days that people are encouraged to read their Bible. That's why I'll keep telling you to do that, to read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Amen. Amen. Let's have our seat. Let's have our seat. Good evening, everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are aware that today is the last Thursday in August? Are you aware? The year is blessed. It's moving already. So Sunday is the last Sunday in August. And then from Monday, we enter the popular Ember Month. Amen. Glory to God. That witches and wizards used to fly up and down. You know, that's what people believe. Well, you know, during Ember Month, there are accidents that happen. A lot of things happen. Amen. And it's not necessarily because witches are more active during Ember Months. A few things can lead to that, which is why you have to pray, actually. One is that, you know, with the coming of Ember Moon, people tend to perceive that, come on, the year is coming to an end. You know, people like waking up late. So they just wake up like, the year is coming to an end. So everybody wants to double whatever thing they're doing. The people doing the good part are trying to do more. People who are preparing evil also wants to do more evil because they want to drive Benz by December. Do you understand? So there is that increased energy. So everybody just, the bus driver that used to run on 30 kilometers per hour is now doing 60 because he wants to pick 10 times the passengers he used to pick before. So you can expect that those things can happen. That's why you should pray. But then, not out of fear. Are you following me? Yeah, not out of fear. Not out of fear. So it's not like witches become stronger during Ember Months or maybe blood-sucking demons or how they put it. No, it's just because people are just. And the people that practice wickedness, the thief feels he has to steal more. The kidnapper feels he has to kidnap people because, come on, December, he has to flex in the village. Do you understand? The ritualists that have been doing ritual from January feel they have to do more ritual. Do you understand? Because it's coming to an end. Which is why you need to pray, though. But I tell you, we're not going to pray this special prayer. Aside the prayers we've always been praying for at the beginning of every month. For example, from Monday, we'll start fasting. Are you excited? We'll fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, first three days of every month, we fast. So please take note of that. Some of you need to set that alarm on your phone. Okay, first 3 days of every month, you fast. Then on Saturday, there's going to be prayer drive. Shout a big amen. Amen. 6 hours, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's not because it's Ember Month. That's how we always do. Begin of every month. Do you understand? You know, sometimes why people have to press on special prayers at certain times, because they don't even have a prayer life at all. If you really have some prayer routines going for you, whether there is Ember Month, December or November, you just do your regular thing and you are moving. If at those special prayers people are going to pray in Ember Months, are the prayers to pray normally? You get the point. So, but the good thing is that Ember Month is coming. But be expectant. Big things will still happen this year. So some of you are already writing 2026 plans. Finish this year first. This year will still end big. And end well. You know, I'm not wishing you well. I don't wish people well. A prophet is not called to wish people well. A prophet is called to bless. So I'm not saying what I want to happen. I'm saying what will happen. Hallelujah. The year is going to end good. Good and better. Better and stronger. Amen. Because the Bible said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So this year is going to end better. Amen.
You know, the Bible says that God crowns the year. Do you remember? You know, I'm always excited about the end of the year. Because I kind of, you know, this excitement people have when the year is starting. I have that excitement when the year is coming to an end. Yes, because I've said this too many times. Most times, for me, the bulk of the good things I enjoy in the year come towards the end. Yes, and I'm expecting it every year. God crowns the year with good things, with his goodness. Psalm 65 verse 11. He said, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Thy paths drop fatness. So God is crowning this year with his goodness, and our paths dropping fatness. I say, God is crowning this year with his goodness. This should be King James on the screen, okay? And our paths are dropping fatness. In the name of Jesus. That's how to end the year. When the year is coming to an end, you can begin to contend with this verse. He crowns the year with goodness. In other words, everything you've recorded, all the testimonies you've recorded from January till the end of the year, at the end of the year, he puts a crown on it. It gets better and better. Many of you will see what I'm talking about firsthand, because you're going to see that many of your dreams will speed up to be actualized. Yes. That's why even up until last week, you know, my wife and I were still talking about some plans we want to accomplish as a family this year. And somebody is feeling like, I think it's coming to an end, you guys are still making plans. Because I don't count like you count. You think it's 4 months to go, but I feel God can do so much within 2 months. That's how I see it. I feel God can do a lot within 1 month. You know, you've been working so hard. That is one order you can get in December that will make every other order you've gotten throughout the year look like it's rubbish. I'm telling you. So, you are the one that is pushing the things in 2026. Better things are coming this year. I mean, between now and December, we're going to see more souls saved than we've ever seen before. Yes. For many of us, the results of the prayers and the outreaches we've been doing since the year started, they will begin to pour in from this end of the year. You will see people that you've been inviting to church for long, they will just start walking into church. Some of them will start calling you by themselves. Why? God crowns the year with his goodness. Shout a big amen. Amen. Read that verse with New Living Translation. Psalm 65 verse 11. He said, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Somebody say abundance. Abundance. Shout it again. Abundance. I didn't leave your voice at home. Is it because I was not here on Sunday? Shout abundance, come on. Abundance. Hallelujah. Our pathways overflow with abundance. With abundance. With abundance. Fatness of the earth. Are you following me? I also feel I should encourage you about that. I didn't even plan to do that today, but I'm doing it already. So, it's going to get better and better. You know, Message Bible said of that verse 11, he said, snow crown the peaks with splendor. Scatter rose petals down. But I like to say that because I wish I can explain this and I want to show you. Okay. Give me passion. Because he was talking about, he said, the chariots of your wheel. That's what he's talking about there. The wheels of your chariot will. Let me read the passion translation. Amen. He said, you crown the earth with the fruit of your goodness. Wherever you go, the tracks of your chariots. Chariot wheels drip with oil. There is going to be abundance this very 4 months that is left. And as I'm already speaking to you ahead of time, the month of September will be the month of abundance. Yeah. It will be for abundance, the whole month of September. So begin to expect abundance. And I wish you can hold this thing I said and fight with it and make sure it happens in your own life. Because I'm going to say abundance in September. Abundance. Big, big one. Big one. Recently, I've been having some crazy figures drop in my mind. Some crazy figures. Some, you know, and I've just been enjoying it. I've had some crazy millions in my heart and all of that. And whenever I hear it, I say it. Because this next month is going to be for abundance. And it will open up from there till December. Because even as a church, in between now and December, we are going to spend over 150 million. Yes. And it will happen stress-free. seamlessly. Nobody being harassed. Are you following what I'm saying? Just like that. Amen. You are the one counting time. God created time. I get to the point. One day the Lord said to me, don't speak to me about time. Yes. I can't forget that day. I was, you know, sometimes when you pray, say, Father, it's meaning to, he said, don't talk to me about time. I created it. I can hold it. Is someone following me at all? Don't say, sir. Some of you talk to God and say, that is remaining 1 month. No, don't talk like that. Why are you talking to about time? He can compress it. In the days of Joshua, he held it. Because Joshua wanted it held. So he held it. And everything happened. So don't talk to God about time. Stop saying all my friends have left. Stop talking about time. You don't complain about to God about time. Something he made. Do you get the point? He can make what would have taken 10 years happen in one day. Yes. Amen. Just that you must learn how to cooperate with him. And I'll talk about that, maybe not today. But maybe sometime for that, I'm going to talk to you. But some of you need to know how to cooperate with God. You know, the presence of God in the believer is so much. I was reading the story of Obed-Edom. I've left anything I want to do today, but let's just flow. I was reading the story of Obed-Edom recently. You know Obed-Edom? Yes, they were bringing an ark, and the ark killed someone. You know that story? And they carried the ark and put it in Obed-Edom's house. And he stayed there for 3 months. In 3 months, Obed-Edom prospered and became wealthy. So, when I got there, I paused for a moment. And the Lord said to me, where was this ark before I got to Obed-Edom's house? That ark has been abandoned somewhere for years. And it didn't make that person rich. Until they brought it to Obed-Edom's house, he made it wealthy. So there's a way to cooperate with the ark of God. I get what I'm saying? So I paused for some minutes that I was like, what was Obed-Edom doing with that ark? I get what I'm saying? Because that ark has been abandoned somewhere for a very long time. David just felt, I need to come bring this ark. Are you following me? And then he goes to get the ark, and then on their way, the ark kills someone, Uzzah. And it feels like, oh, but they told him, this small boy, you can't do anything. Imagine something that killed someone, people are running from it, but they kept it in his house. 3 months, the thing prospered him. David said, go and give me my ark. So, how was he relating with the ark that what was somewhere for years and didn't prosper the person or the people there came to his house and in 3 months he prospered him? That's a way to practice the presence of God. That's a way to cooperate with the anointing. That's a way to cooperate with God's presence. And some of you need to learn that. So that all these words you are speaking will not go to waste. Because next month will bring abundance to us. When we get there, I'm going to explain some of these things I just said now to you. But I'm saying the year is coming to an end. It should excite you. Not because we are just counting time. It should excite you because the end of the year will bring better things. That's what should excite you. So when I say it's coming to an end, be happy because it means better things are coming. September will be better. October better than September. November better than October. December will be the best of the months. Yes, that's why it works in my life. That's why I can, since I learned what I'm telling you, I've not entered January broke. Like, I've never complained about all these January things to complain about. Because to start with, my December is always good. And I have sense. Those are the two things. Because some people, their December will be good, but they lack sense. So they now begin to share to everybody. But December is always good, always blessed. I come to think of it, there's a lot of circulation of funds during December. Have you observed? People want to gift you more during December than any other month because they're just in a festive mood. People want to buy things more during December. That's why if you're doing business and you do Christmas sales, people tend to spend more around that period. So that's why I believe there is much more circulation of wealth during December. So stop thinking that, oh, the year is coming to an end and I've not achieved anything. That's even something you shouldn't be thinking about. You know, there are many things you've achieved, but you don't know. And maybe by the end of the year, I'm going to show you about 5 things or 6 things that you have achieved this year. That I didn't even know you achieved. By the time I'm done, you've achieved at least 90% of them. And they are big things. Because when we are not deliberate about counting God's goodness, we will really think the year is wasted. Because there are about 5 days within this year that things didn't go well. There was a day they stole your phone in one of those other days, something bad happened. So you just pick those one day in February, another day in June, another day in August. I get what I'm saying? Another day in May. Then you say, this year, I don't see shege. So what of the days you are not seeing shege? How were those days? They were good. Say it's a good year. Say it is a good year. What is this year for? You remember. What's this year for? Shout it. Say signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's going to get better and better. Amen. Have your seat. Have your seat. I don't even know why you stood in the first place. Amen. So, basic ministry know-how. Were you blessed on Sunday? On Sunday, we'll open up on the ministry of helps. You know, let me even say something about Sunday. I wasn't around on Sunday. And I know you are blessed. I know you are blessed because I followed the meeting myself. Right? So, but let me say this. You know, that there are people that have this habit of, pastor's not going to be around. So why am I showing up? Are you following the point? And that's a very, that actually shows you're not actually a mature Christian. Yes. You should be able to know that your pastor will not be around for 1 month and you're showing up. And there are many reasons for that. To start with, you're not coming to meet me. Whether you like it or not, is it me you want to see? No. So whether I'm around or not, the God they're coming to see is here. He says, it's not you, but it's the grace upon your life. That is correct. That grace upon my life, I pass it on to people whenever I'm going. So that whatever that would have happened if I'm not, for instance, I can do a miracle service and not be around. But I can pass that grace to someone and the person will minister under that grace and the whole miracles that would have happened if I was there will still happen. Are you following the point? So that culture of, pastor will not be around, that means I really don't have to be around. When he comes back, we will show. It's actually a sign and a mark that you're childish. And some people, you know, when they are in church like that, and it's not pastor prophesying or speaking, they are just there once the pastor comes up. What you do not realize is that anybody coming to this stage to minister is standing under this grace and this covering. Anybody. Are you following the point? And that's the truth. Anybody. And I've learned this and I'm telling you. Anybody. That's why there are some people that can minister here, minister so powerfully. If they leave a ministry and go to another, and they will notice there are some graces that might stop working in their lives. Not because God took it from them, but because it was never theirs in the first place. I get to the point. It was never theirs. It was just because of where they were standing. The thing was just flowing. Amen. So, whenever I'm around, I'm not around, you receive the best. Because from next year, and other years coming up, there's a lot of traveling in our itinerary. A lot of it. And it should excite you. It shouldn't make you say, so pastor will no longer always be around. It should excite you. Anybody that stands is going to stand in my authority. Are you following what I'm saying? And the same results will come. And whether you know it or not, whether you agree or not, what they're preaching is my message. Not just my message last, but what I've taught them. I mean, almost, you may not know this, but almost every day I'm not going to be around. A night before that day, I hold a meeting, a short teaching class with all the pastors in this center, online. You get the point? I communicate to them whatever the mind of God is for the service. Are you following the point? So you saying, pastor will not be around, so I'm not going to be around. You're the one robbing yourself. Say amen. But I'm around now. So we're going to be blessed. Say amen. Hallelujah. So on Sunday, we're looking at ministry of helps. Still under this basic ministry know-how teaching. Ministry of helps. And we touched a few things. Right? And the fact that, you see, and the basic thing I want you to see, every believer is meant to serve the saints. Let me explain this to you. There are two major ways you serve God. Two major ways you serve. Two major ways. Because people need to know, I've explained this many times. People say, oh, I'm serving God. Say, what are you doing? They say, I'm giving money to the poor, so I'm serving God. That's not entirely correct. The two major ways, that broad, but that's two major ways. The two major ways to serve God, first, is what we call the ministry of reconciliation. Which is the fact that every believer has an assignment to, you see, preach the gospel to other, to unbelievers to get saved. So 2 Corinthians 5 tells us in verse 17 that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things have passed away, all things have become new. Then in verse 18, he says, all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has committed to us or given us the ministry of reconciliation. So every believer has that ministry of reconciliation. I have to reemphasize that every time I come up. So it is the duty of every believer to preach the gospel, to get sinners saved. It is not the job of pastors. It's not the job of special ministers. It's not the job of apostles. It is every believer. So when a pastor is on soul winning, he's not doing it because he's a pastor. He's doing it because he's a believer. When an evangelist is winning souls, he's a believer. That's why he's winning souls. So the first way to serve God is that you are involved in the ministry of reconciliation, winning men to the Lord. Right? Now, the second way you serve God, what we are discussing, is by what we call ministry to the saints. So let me put it in two ways. First is ministry to sinners. Two, ministry to the saints. To sinners, what you minister to sinners is the salvation message. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you minister to sinners. What you minister to saints, that one is broad. There are many things you can do for saints. You can serve the saints in many ways. Sometimes you might teach the saints. Sometimes you might care for the saints. I can see the point. But these are the two broad ways to serve God. So 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15 tells us about a family called the household of Stephanas. And it tells us about that family that they had addicted themselves. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I always, whenever I read this, as I always say, that's a very exemplary family. The house of Stephanas. Now, he didn't just say Stephanas was ministering to the saints. He said the entire household. So this man raised his family, that all his family, they were notable for this fact, that they were addicted to serving the saints. So when he says they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, he's not talking about preaching the gospel here. It means they were just serving the saints. In other words, if you come to the house of Stephanas, some of them were ushers. Some of them were singers. Some of them were sanctuary team. Some of them were informationists. They were just serving. The whole family was known to have an addiction. And that addiction is that they were serving the saints. So if you read it with the New Living Translation, King James said serving the saints. But the New Living Translation said they are spending their lives in service to God's people. So ministry to the saints is that you are serving the people of God in different capacities. It can be the capacity of a pastor, as I'm doing now. I'm teaching you. It can be the capacity of a teacher. Maybe you are teaching a cell or teaching a group. It can be the capacity of an usher. It can be in whatever capacity. It can even be in the capacity, in a job where you are not even being seen. Where what you do is make sure that church is open today. That's your job. It might be the capacity of an administrator. Make sure that things are working. It might be the finance team. To make sure that money that comes into church is not wasted. That's serving the Lord. Now, I've explained this before. Let me say it again. If you work as an accountant in a bank and you do a very good job there, that is not ministry. Now, yet again, that's not ministry. But if working as an accountant in church, that's ministry. The difference is, somebody say, but it's not the same thing, accountant. No. One, you are doing it for the money. The other one, you are doing it unto the Lord. That's why ministry must never be done for the money. Even though we can pay you as a minister here. We can say we are paying our pastors and it's not wrong. But a pastor should not be a pastor primarily because he wants money. I feel what I'm saying now. So while it's unto the Lord, you are doing it because you want to use it to serve the saints. The same thing with singing. The same thing with ushering. You can usher at a wedding, and that's not ministry. But you can usher in church. If you usher in church, you're doing ministry. Why? Look at the Bible. You know, Acts chapter 6 gives us a story. I always refer to this story. It tells us about 7 men that they picked to be able to distribute food. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? They were picked to be able to distribute food to the church. Now, that's Acts chapter 6. If you get to verse 6, Bible says they presented them to the apostles. Watch this. And the apostles laid hands on them. Now, once again, what was their assignment, if you remember? Talk to me. Do you have your voice to do what?
Share.
To distribute food, to share food. Right? So, that's not a spiritual assignment, as it were. Is it? Just to share food, take your own. So, if it is not a spiritual assignment, how come the apostles laid hands on them for that purpose? Because the fact that they're now about to do it in church, it is now ministry and it now needs a divine empowerment to do it. Now, if you are serving food in a restaurant, that's not ministry. Are you getting the point? But if the church owns a restaurant, a free restaurant, where people that are hungry in church can come in and eat, and you are there, you are serving, that's ministry. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because you have to understand how it works. So, that is ministry to the saints. Anything can be ministry to the saints. The important is that you are doing it unto the Lord. Anything can be. Anything. And when I mean anything, I'm not saying everything, but anything can be. Are you getting the point? Anything can be. You know, we can get to a place, we'll go on mission, and we'll find out that there are some children that we got saved who are not in school. They can't pay their fees. And you say, well, they are now in church. Let me pay their fees. You see, that giving, that in his ministry. That's what Paul calls the ministry of giving. But if that you're just going up and down doing philanthropy and sharing money, it's not ministry. It's a good thing. I get what I'm saying. It's a worthwhile thing to do, but you wouldn't say you are serving the Lord. So ministry, serving the Lord is to serve his saints. Where you do it because they are believers. We are doing it because it's the Lord, because it's church, not because of any personal interest. And that's why you must be careful that you do not begin to serve the Lord in a way that you are no longer serving him. Because by what I explained to you, any day in this pastoral thing I'm doing, I begin to do it for that selfish purpose, maybe because of money. Maybe I'm not doing it, the motivation is not money. It stops counting before the Lord as ministry. Before you guys can still be shouting, pastor is doing ministry. But before the Lord, it stops counting. Because I'm now doing it for the pay. I get what I'm saying? That same way, any day an usher begins to usher for other reasons. Say, this is like what? Begins to usher so that they can notice her or notice him. It's not because of the Lord. Or begins to usher because of eye service. Let me just be here. If I just do this ushering thing well, there are some rich guys in this church. Or there is this rich guy that has a big company. In ushering, I can just talk to him and he'll give me a job. That is now selfish interest. I get what I'm saying? Now, can you get a job as you are ushering? Yes. But if that becomes a motivation, you should check it. You are actually beginning to serve your selfish interest. The key thing is that ministry must be unto the Lord. Unto the Lord means you are doing it because it's for the Lord. Now, while sometimes you might get paid, for instance, if I go preach in a place, I can finish preaching and they honor me. They give me money, small money, big money. Sometimes in tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds, sometimes millions. Now, but if I begin to choose where I go to preach because of... Are you following what I'm saying now? Because I will check how much can they bring. If I start that, it's no more ministry. I'm now a businessman. In the business of preaching. And they say, it doesn't matter. Once money is coming in, when you meet God. Not the thing about ministry. Everything we do as ministry, we're going to give account to God. And that scares me. So that's why I can look at people like, that guy is not doing ministry. He say, Pastor, but he's all over the place. He's no longer doing ministry. Some people really have selfish interest. Personal interest. Anyway, so we must understand what ministry is. So by what I've explained to you, you must know that ministry is to serve the sinners with the gospel and to serve the saints in whatever capacity that God will have you do it. Either you are pastoring or you are ushering or you are singing or you are leading a small group or you are caring for people or you are counseling people, you are doing it for the Lord. Now, so I want to say a few more things around, you know, serving the Lord in the church, serving the saints and all of that. This ministry to the saints. I want to say a few more things around that. Because one of the things you must understand, for instance, is that, but let me just explain how church runs. Because I'm going to explain to you how to serve God in church. I'm going to show you very shortly how to serve God in church. Let me explain how church runs. You see, the church of Jesus Christ is being led by God. But it is led by God through men. Don't miss this one point. Because if you miss this point, you've missed everything about ministry to the Lord. About serving the saints. Or serving the Lord in church. So it is led by God through men. Most times, let me put it in a better way. It is led by God through a man. Which is why what I'm going to say is going to, I want you to pay attention. If you are not careful, you will understand the government of the church as autocracy. If you are not careful. Do you know what autocracy is? What is it? Where it is one person making decision. If you are not careful. So some people in an attempt to fight this autocracy thing, they begin to say the church must practice democracy. Where they say, let the whole church come together and let us vote. Whatever we decide, we'll stand. That is still wrong. The government of the church runs by theocracy. Theocracy means the government of God. Theo is God. The government of God. It is God that calls the shots. Just that why it looks like autocracy now is because he will call that shots through a man. Are you following what I'm showing you? So if you're not careful, and if you don't have a renewed mind, you'll feel like, why is it this man deciding everything that happens in church? What of what we also want? You look at how God interacted with guys in the Old Testament and all that, even the New Testament. When God wanted a thing, he doesn't call the opinion. He just tells Moses, see what we are going to do. And every time those guys wanted to have their own opinion, they always ran into trouble. Because God doesn't call a committee. Are you following me? Which is why I'm going to say this while I continue. Before you join a church, be sure that pastor hears from God. And not that he hears from God, that he follows the divine leading. Because some people can hear, but they don't follow. Because if you follow a pastor who doesn't follow divine leading, he's the one you're going to follow. Because God is never going to call a committee. Go read your Bible. God has never spoken to a people in a group. Can't check. The only time they tried to do that, he told Moses, gather them around the mountain. They came around the mountain. He thundered once. They ran away. Because how God works is that he speaks to a person. The person speaks to the people. That's how God lives. So the government of God is theocracy. But then there is a man that represents God. Are you following me? So God leads the church through men. I can show you many scriptures. In Jeremiah 3 verse 15. He said, I will give you pastors. I will give you pastors according to my heart. We shall feed you. So the job of feeding with knowledge and understanding is actually what God wants to do, but he will do it through pastors he will give you. Do you understand it? I can show you some other scriptures. Acts 20 verse 28. When Paul was leaving Ephesus after his missions, he gathered the elders and he told that's the leaders, the bishops, of the different local churches that he planted there. He told them, take it therefore to yourself, watch, and to all the flock, over the which the what? Come on, talk who? Over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. So, the Holy Ghost makes people overseers. So, people think, well, God can come and lead us by himself. No, God leads you by making people overseers.
Where I'm going to with what I'm explaining to you, I'll still explain further, but what I'm going to is that you must realize that when we talk about serving God in the local church, we are actually talking about serving man and serving men. I'm going to explain it very shortly. But follow this. So the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So is it the Holy Ghost leading this church? Yes. How is he leading them? He made men to oversee. Is it very clear to us? He put men in charge to oversee. That's why if you read Acts 13, now this one is a story, very interesting. I've preached from that many times. In Acts 13 verse 1, the Bible says, certain prophets and teachers gathered in Antioch and they prayed. Then in verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, now if you are not careful, when you see the Holy Ghost said, you will think the Holy Ghost turned out from heaven and said, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. But that's not what happened. How do you know? The Holy Ghost is separated Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. Now verse 3. Watch this. Come on. When they had fasted and prayed. So who fasted and prayed? Those prophets and teachers that gathered in Jerusalem, right? They fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. So talk to me. Who fasted and prayed? Prophets and teachers, right? Who laid hands on them? Prophets and teachers. Who sent them away? Prophets and teachers. Right? Now, look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. He did not now say by the prophets and teachers. He now said it's by the Holy Ghost. So the writer understood that the activity of the prophets and teachers is the activity of the Holy Ghost. I get what I'm trying to show you. So how God will lead his church is through men. It's through men. Which is why you cannot say you are, because when we talk about ministry to the saints, you have to understand, you cannot say you are serving God and you are not serving men. That's the truth. It cannot happen. But I'm coming to that statement I made. So you find out that if I point a pastor here and say, I want you to go to, I'm moving you from Enugu now, you are going to go to Makurdi to start a church. That pastor can boldly hit his chest and say, the Lord sent me to Makurdi. Whether he heard from the Lord himself or not. Because, look at it. Who sent them away in verse 3? The prophets and teachers. Do you get the point? Who did the author record that he sent them away in verse 4? The Holy Ghost. Now, this, if you understand the same thing I explained to you, you now understand some things that happened between Paul and his children. If you read the whole from Romans down, you see Paul, I've told Timothy to stay back here. I've told, so it looks like he was one telling them, stay here, stay here. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, it will interest some of you to know, I've told from this many times, that Timothy did most of his ministry and pastoral ministry in Ephesus. But that letter of Ephesians, it was Timothy's diocese. Let me use that word, amen? Or zone, or district that received that letter. And the point is, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, it was Paul that told Timothy to stay in Ephesus. And so the call of God upon Timothy was to stay in Ephesus, but it was Paul that told him to stay there. Because when God sends you to a local church and puts you under a man, don't forget what I'm going to say. Most of the leadings you are going to get concerning ministry, not all, I'm going to give some percentages, but most of the leadings you are going to get concerning ministry will come from that authority you are under. Most. Do you understand what I'm saying? The other exceptions is if God will have you do certain things outside your local church, right? Maybe God will have you run something outside your local church, which must have to be confirmed by that authority you are under. Just that in this case, he might not be the one to get it. I agree what I'm saying. Maybe God wants you to go start a church. He might not be the one to hear it. Most times he wouldn't. But you will hear it and now say it, and then he will now confirm it. But most times, within that local church, all the leadings will come. So Timothy will not stand up and say, Pastor Paul, you touch there in Ephesus, but I like Macedonia. Can I go there? Are you following me, friends? I follow, I'm saying. So that's how God leads. That's how God blesses. That's how God leads us. So in Timothy, obeying what Paul is saying, serving the saints in Ephesus, he is serving the Lord. So let me put it another way. In Timothy, following Paul, he's following the Lord. Do you understand the point? Okay. So when you serve in your church, when you serve God in your church, you are serving him through your pastor. And then in your service to other saints. So two things I want you to see. How to serve the Lord is to serve men. In the local church, this means to serve your pastor and to serve other saints. That's what I'm saying. For me, what it means is that I have to serve you. If I'm not serving you, I'm not serving God. If in this church you are not following your pastor, serving your pastor, and serving other saints, you're not serving the Lord. Let me show you a scripture that's going to summarize this whole thing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Everybody, please pay attention to this. I've taught from here quite a few, but then I just want to show you something else. He says, he that receiveth, you know, Jesus was talking to his disciples, to his apostles. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Is that clear? Stay here. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So, Jesus is saying, after I leave this earth, and you want to receive Jesus into your home, how do you do that? Look for these apostles and receive them in your home. Once you welcome them in your home, you've welcomed Jesus into your home. Let me say this. People who despise men cannot know God. Yes. Because God is served through men. But watch. He that receiveth you. So, I'm here now as Pastor Henry. The day you say, sir, good evening. Jesus reads it like you are receiving. Now, look at what he says. See the next verse. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet. So when he says receiving, it's not about greeting the person. He's saying, if you begin to relate with a prophet in a certain way, just because he's a prophet, in the name of a prophet, he said that is a prophet's reward that you receive. He that is with the righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. So verse 41 talks about receiving a prophet, right? Talk to me, right? Now verse 42. Whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. So verse 41 talks about prophet. Verse 42 talks about disciple. In other words, your interaction with God's people, either they are prophets or they are just disciples, is your interaction with Jesus. Are you getting the point? Whether they are prophets or they are disciples. So when we say serving God is serving men, what you are saying is, yes, you should serve your pastor, but then you must find many ways to serve saints in church. So the person that cleaned this seat for you to sit on it has served you because we are saints. That person may possibly not be cleaning seat in his house because he might be a married man and he has wife and he has children that clean seat for him in the house. He doesn't have to clean it. But then he's cleaning it in church because you are a saint and you are about to sit on that seat. So he's receiving you in the name of a disciple. Are you following me? Now, I'm walking into this church and somebody, okay, I have a protocol team who makes sure that, okay, pastor is fine. I say, oh, pastor, let me help you carry your Bible. Oh, this impeller, can I tidy this? Can I do this? Can I iron your clothes? That's when I'm with them anyway, when I allow them. Because I don't, anyway. Now, but they begin to do that, can I? Now, some of these guys might not even be ironing their clothes in their house. You understand the point? They might be using dry cleaners. It's for some of them, their wives or husbands iron for them. Or they have people in their house. So they don't, maybe. But, so why are you that don't use iron clothes? It's not possible to you now. You are doing it in the name of a prophet. So that counts as ministry. I get what I'm saying? Some people that are in the sanctuary team here, who clean this church, don't even clean their house. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they may not have need to clean their houses. Some of them have younger ones who would rather clean the houses for them. Are you what I'm talking about? But here they are in church cleaning it. Why? They are receiving you in the name of a disciple. Because God's people are going to sit on this seat. Because God's people are going to use that toilet. So I'm going to keep it clean. So that is called, they are serving the saints. Receiving a prophet and receiving a disciple in the name of a prophet, in the name of a disciple. So you, if you are not serving your pastor and serving other saints, you are not doing ministry. If a pastor is not serving the saints, he's not doing ministry. So the whole thing about ministry is to serve. I get to the point. In different capacities. And you know, if you carry service in your heart when you think of ministry, you will do very well. Yes. You see, what I'm teaching you is what they teach them in, what they teach in Bible schools. In some many Bible schools, very good Bible schools. But I don't think it's a teaching for Bible school. Every believer needs to learn this. And I was thinking about something recently. You know, I heard them mention it on Sunday a lot in their teaching. I was thinking about something recently. I mean the body of Christ. We raise pastors who you post to a location and they begin to complain. Why are they moving where I was? Why are they posting me to a new location? It's because there is food in the other place. It's because the leader doesn't like me. That's why he's... Have you heard things like that? And that's not meant to be. He says that, but sometimes they play politics. That is the truth. Sometimes there is politics. Sometimes there is even selfish interest. But a trained believer should ignore the politics that are playing and take it as though God has sent me here. But what I was thinking about recently is this. How can the believer take it like that? Whereas from the time he joined Children's Church, he was allowed to choose everything. He was allowed to choose his department. He was allowed to choose his cell. He was allowed to choose everything. I get to the point. He was allowed to choose whether he wanted to be in the choir or to be in the usher. He was allowed to make all his choices. And now he becomes a pastor. You now want to tell him that they have to put him there. You've taught him all the while, all his Christian life growing up, that he's the one that chooses where he wants to be. Now he grows up to become a pastor. You now tell him, no, you no longer choose, we'll choose for you. He was revolt. I feel what I'm talking about. He will revolt. Something in him will fight with it. But if that's why I'm training people in this church. We are trying to let you see that you are not going to serve where you like to serve. It's not about what you like. You know the thing about it is because if you really work with God closely, you know that what you are doing is correct. Because when God wants to send you, God doesn't send you. Do you understand this? If God wants to send you, He no send you. He doesn't care about your emotion. Do you understand? It's English and pidgin. When God wants to send you, you know, they look at your face. He doesn't even care about your emotion. Sometimes you talk to God. God, you serve. Sometimes you behave like you're a tyrant. If He just says, I'm sending you to, you say, Lord, please, no. Lord, I don't want to go. He will not force you. He will give you time. But if you come back to Him about 1 year after, His will has not changed. And I say, Lord, I don't want it. I don't want it. Lord, take my life. After 2 years, the only thing is that in those 2 years, you'll be working on your heart so that you eventually accept. Because you will accept. So God will send you. So when I see people here, they put them in the apartment and they think, yeah, I say, that's the truth. I don't send you. Because that's actually how God works. And some of you, you see this in your small space. When He says, go and preach to that sinner. That guy, you say, Lord, I'm not going to go. That guy is too big for me. If I now go, blah, blah, blah. Every time you pray, it will come back. Until you go and preach to that person. You can ignore it. You can decide not to pray about it again. But if you dare pray about that place, you can preach to that person. It is there. Because You must understand. I did a teaching some years ago, about 2 years ago. God, you must see God. God is Father. That's the thing many people like. He's my Father. My daddy, your baby is his Father. But you know, God is also Lord. The picture I want you to see of God is, you have a father who loves you so much in the home. But then, he has a big company where you are a staff. Where every morning, as he dresses up to go to work, you dress up and follow him there. When you guys get to that company, he's not your daddy inside that place. I get to the point. That place is Mr. Chairman. Are you following what I'm saying? Mr. Chairman, the report is ready. You say, why didn't this report come in yesterday? I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't tidy it up, but I promise you before 12 o'clock, it'll be on your desk. He said, get it done. That is Mr. Chairman. Do you understand? When you guys get home, you can say, daddy, you show me shege today. Are you following the point? Now, many people don't like, they just want God as their father. My daddy, your baby, I will be singing and dancing. He's your daddy, I'm not fighting that relationship. But if you're going to make progress with God in ministry, no, he's Lord. Lord means owner. He owns you. He calls the shots. Tells you how it must be. And you will align to it. Amen. Well, I'm just laying foundation. Which is why, where I'm actually going to is that to serve God. But I just want to understand how service is in church. So, when we say serving God in church, ministry of the saints, it doesn't happen by just liking people. It's about serving the Lord and serving his man and his men. So, how did Matthew 10 put it? Receiving a prophet, that's verse 41. Verse 42 talks about receiving a disciple. So you must receive God's prophet and receive his disciples. So in other words, in this church, you must serve the leadership and serve other saints. That's what all our departments do actually in different ways. That's what all the departments do. All the departments. There is a technical team that is making sure that you can hear me, that you can see me. That is making sure that, you know, the list and everything is working in proper shape. That's ministry that are doing. Now we're about to do a building. That is the building committee. Some of those building committee guys are engineers. Some of them, we brought them in because of some experiences we know that they had. And they have. Now, that thing they're doing in that building is ministry. Because they're serving you. Many days you're going to be in your house sleeping, but they'll be out there making sure, maybe I'm now on their neck. I need this thing done between 2 days, 3 days. Some of them, one day the engineer told me, one of the guys in the building team told me that I'm perceiving that around November we'll be sleeping on that site. I just laughed. I didn't say anything. In my mind, I said, good perception, because... Now, if you're going to be sleeping in your house, some of them will be sleeping on that site. You get the point? To make sure that when you come, it's working. That's serving you. When we talk about serving you, serving men, it's not about, I'm not saying worshiping men, that's what I'm saying, or maybe cleaning their shoe. In those different ways, that's serving you. That's why when you're a trained minister of the gospel, or if you're a trained believer, you don't come into church, any church, and then the first thing you do is to complain. You're not trained. Any church. When you come in, appreciate the effort of people that is keeping that place open till now. I know there are many things that would have been done. They don't have excellence. They would have, okay, if you enter, just appreciate the fact that that place is working. I get the point. But let me even tell you, the reason you're noticing all those things is because you're a spectator. When you're a fan, when you watch match, you see more of the errors because you're outside the stadium. Most times when you're playing inside the pitch, I get the point. You are seeing the errors, but you're working hard. People who are outside talk a lot. And that's what we fans do in football. We just talk. We just complain. Do you understand? Not as a job of fans. to complain and to appreciate. That's why I'm even going to say this in passing. Whenever you're serving the Lord, forget about what people say. Just serve the Lord well. The reason is this. People have very short memories. You know, yesterday they beat Man U. You guys are waiting to talk about this, right? You've been waiting for me. But I saw your faces. I said, let me go there. But you know the problem? All these Man U fans complaining now. If Man U plays match by next tomorrow and beats those guys 4-0, go and check their status. He said, Red Devils, we are back. Theater of Dreams, GGMU. See, that's how fans are. I feel what I'm saying. That's how we are. Fans, we have short memory. We don't care. After they win like 3-4 matches, you now hear Ruben Amorim. Amorim ball. They let him lose one match. He said, I don't think we could sack this man. So that's how we are. So no two reason. That's why it's not in my notes. But you see here, this thing I'm doing, the last thing I pay attention to is what people say. If I was listening to what people say, I should have stopped a long time ago. There is somebody called Azuanoka. Do you know the person? You know, that is the, okay, how do I explain Azuanoka now in English? Azu is back. Anoka is does not hear, so. Back, no, they hear. So what I just told my back like that, just how I, what I teach as in normally teach this. I have one blind eye, one deaf ear. LMP is coming, no, and I'm going to teach along these ministry lines. This is basic ministry, but we're going to go further. One blind eye, one deaf ear. One, why you need one ear open is because you cannot possibly say, I don't care about what people say to me or say about me. That's not good. You should care. Because sometimes what people say to you and about you is feedback. Because you cannot write exam and mark the script by yourself. You will pass yourself 100%. Do you understand? So there should be one ear open to hear what people say. Even Jesus did that. Jesus got to a time, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? So he wanted to hear. So one ear should be open. But then, that ear, the other ear should be closed. That closed ear is to criticisms. So what I do, when people talk about me, Pastor, the first thing I'm going to check is what they're saying true? That's what I'm going to check. Sincerely, I'll analyze it. Is it true? If it is true, I will readjust. I will take correction. I will do whatever I have to do. But then, the other ear is shut to every of this nonsense you're talking, because if you keep paying attention to those things, you will stop moving forward. So you must serve the Lord by serving men. Well, big digression, but we are back. The first thing that God is looking for, if you're going to serve the Lord effectively in his church, is that you must have the right heart. Because I just want to show you how to serve the Lord in his church. You must have the right heart. In anything you do with God and for God, God pays attention to hearts. Are you following me? Hearts. In 1 Samuel, I think it's 16 verse 6, the Bible tells us when Samuel got to the house of David, the house of Jesse, to anoint a king, Samuel saw Eliab and said, because Eliab looked good, looked fine, had the stature of a prophet or of a king. And he now said, surely that's the Lord's anointed. And then in verse 7, the Lord told him, I've rejected him. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's how God works. It's the heart. And many people like this message, because they say, yes, sir, preach it. Do you know my heart? Do you know my heart? God knows I love him. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. Because yes, there is the heart. But the Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. In other words, if your heart is right, your actions will show it. So you can't be misbehaving saying, all I know is that my heart is right. Your heart is not right. You can't say, I will not go to church, but God knows I love him in my heart. You don't love God. So God needs the right heart.
Why, when I preach on the heart, I'm actually saying there is a way God wants you to think, to see things. There's a kind of person God wants you to become if you're going to serve him effectively. In Proverbs 16 and verse 2, see, talking about the heart, Proverbs 16 and verse 2. He says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. He said, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Give me like an NLT. Look at that. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. So God is actually looking at the heart. That's his attention. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. He said, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God actually rewards the fruit of your doings, but he starts it from the heart. Which is why I told you when I was laying foundation that when you can be cleaning in church and you're no longer doing ministry. Remember I said that? I can be preaching here, but I'm no more doing ministry. Why? The heart is what God will check. Why is he doing it? Because you know that why you cannot hide it from him. So the fruit of your doings will be rewarded. But God starts from the heart. He tries the heart. So that is a kind of heart you must have. You must have the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son. This was David talking to his son. Know thou the God of thy father. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. That is David counseling Solomon before he died. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. So that's how God starts. So that's where God starts with people, the heart. So what kind of heart you must carry in ministry? I'll share a few of them with you. One, you must genuinely love the Lord. A heart, you must have a heart that genuinely loves the Lord, not just his blessings. I say it again, the kind of heart that God wants, if you're going to serve in the church, you must genuinely love the Lord, not just, there are many people that love God's blessing. They love miracles. They love signs. They love wonders, but they don't love God. They love the miracles. It's very easy for you to see. You know, in John 21, we read about Peter. After Jesus died and, he rose, but they didn't know he had risen. So they went to fish. And Jesus appeared there. And look at how Jesus acted. Just appeared there. Now they had been fishing for the whole night. They didn't catch anything. So when Jesus appeared, Jesus did not rebuke them. That's one thing you have to pay attention to. Jesus did not say, how dare you fish? Because he didn't even tell them to stop fishing in the first place. Let's face the fact. Check your Bible. Jesus didn't tell them not to fish. So he wasn't actually against their fishing. But you see the flow. So he got there to tell you that he wasn't against their fishing. He gave them a miracle. He told them, have you guys got anything? They said, no. He told them, launch out. You'll catch something. And they launched out. They caught something. They caught big. In fact, the Bible tells us they caught about 153 fishes at once. That's big catch. So immediately they caught that. Peter knew that it was the Lord. Peter and John. John told him, that's Jesus. So they jumped into the water and they began to swim. They met him. And guess what he did when he saw them? He greeted them and told them to roast the fish, let them eat. Are you following me? Yes. So they ate the fish. So he was trying to tell them, I guess what you guys are doing, no. But when they were now done eating the fish, he now turned to Simon. And I said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? In other words, more than the fish you just ate. More than the miracle I just gave you. More than the supply you just had. Do you love me more than them? So God is not really against all of those things. But he wants to be sure that you love him more than the supplies. There must be, that's the kind of heart God is looking for. That heart that loves him more than what he does for you. That's why we trust God for breakthroughs and we pray breakthroughs. But you know, sometimes the proof, now hear what I'm going to say. The proof that you really love God and you really trust God is actually your attitude
before the breakthrough comes. While the breakthrough tarries, will you still be going to church? Will you still be serving in church? Or will you be complaining up and down? Somebody will be serving the Lord. Somebody will be serving God. And nothing to show for it. And by nothing to show for it, he's not talking about that no soul was won. Do you follow the point? Nothing to show for it, it means is no money. So is money the thing to show for serving God? I'm asking you. You're not thinking about, are you winning souls? Are people getting saved? Are they growing? You're just saying, somebody that's having God, nothing to show for it. So when there is money, there is now something to show. So there must be that heart that loves the Lord more than, let me tell you, I want to see you. And God wants to see you fervent in your broke days, in your rich days, in your poor days, in your wealthy days. Every season. That's the heart that God is looking for. Whether there is a big catch, we are serving him. When there is a big catch, we'll keep serving him. When the fishes disappear, we keep serving him. Now, that's the heart God is looking for. That's how to serve in this place. You can't really serve God in church if you are just about things that he does for you. Because there will be seasons that those things will not flow. Not because God will cease them. But because, of course, there are many things. Maybe your faith level is not even working. Maybe you have a lot of lessons to learn. Maybe there are many things fighting it. But end point is that there are seasons that it will not always be all right. But your fervency must remain intact. Your service to God must not be touched. That's how to serve God. Now, if you're an usher, you're meant to clean. You show up every day to clean, whether you have clean in your house or not. You get the point? Now you show up all the time. If you're a pastor, you're meant to preach. Show up and preach every day. Don't wake up one day and say, I'm not going to come. I've been preaching to you guys since. Not even nothing to show for it. So what do you want to show for it? Are you getting the point? Because you must love the Lord more than you love his miracles. You must love the Lord more than you love his supplies. You know, I was telling someone, I said, the way some of you love God or claim to love God, if someone loves you like that, you will not like it. Imagine someone loves you only when you are bringing money. When you are bringing money, the person is just there for you. You know, there are some people like that. When you are bringing money, you are a baby. He said, babe, how are you doing? I just thank God I met you. Every day I just thank God you came into my life. That is money. Once there is no more money, you become Papa and Kem Delim. You know, okay, baby. Imagine they love you like that. Do you even enjoy being loved like that? You know, let me tell you, that's why many rich people are not happy. Many rich people know that people don't like them. That's what I'm going to teach you as God grows you financially. Please stay close to people that genuinely care for you. If not, depression will kill you. Because as you grow in life, find that many people don't care about you. They just care about those things you are bringing. You want to know if it is true, just go down financially small. They will not only will they stop calling you, they will stop picking your call. And they are going to migrate to the next rich person. I'm teaching you. That's why some of you, as you are growing, you are throwing away relationship. I don't need you. We are now growing. Just know that those new friends you are making, not many of them care about you. When money finish, they will go. Now somebody sang it as a song, but it's actually a fact. But the truth of the matter is, it's not every friend that will go. Just that in the process of your trying to make money, you've pursued all the friends that wouldn't have gone. Because you feel you have grown and you've risen. Are you following me? Very important. Well, let me to that. But that's how some of us love God. When the supply is flowing, the person will be in church so happy, serving the Lord. Yeah. This Jesus that I have is enough. He has money. He's just so happy. Now, once there is a drop, when there is a drop for 1 week, he's still saying, I know the one I've believed. I know whom I've believed. 2 weeks. I know he will come through. 1 month, God doesn't fail. By 3 months, If you, is this thing really worth it? What are we serving the Lord? There are even people in the world that have more money than us. And we can forget all this faith thing is not working. This is the one that was shouting, what was that? Oluwa Tosin. Oluwa is not Tosin again. You must really love the Lord. Well, that's the kind of man that God is going to use. Are you following the point? That's how to serve in church. That's how to serve in church. That's how to serve in church. That if you turn it the other way, there are people that they don't go when money comes. Or when there is lack. They actually go when money comes. Their own is the other way. Once they blow, they stop coming. There are people, once I see them in church, I know there is a problem.
Yes.
Because, and I'm going to address that shortly. Because some people, when they begin to have money, they begin to feel that they've become too big for certain things. Never get that big. Never become so big in life that if you need to wash toilets in church, you will no longer wash it because you are now big. You are too big for your own good. You should become small. I get the point. Yes. So love the Lord more than what he gives. Another heart that God, another thing you find in the hearts, that the right kind of heart in working with God is a willing heart. By willingness, I mean a heart that is willing to do whatever. Please underline whatever. Willing to do whatever that God wants done. You know, I was looking at the story of the Apostle Paul. The day the Lord met him on the way to Damascus, that's Acts chapter 9, in verse 6, the first question, then he found out it was the Lord. He first asked, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm just going to persecute and all of that. Then in verse 6, the first thing he asked is, Lord, what will thou have me do? What a question to ask for someone just coming into the Lord. That wasn't even born again then. That is the character of the man that will serve the Lord. He said, how did you know to ask this question? Well, Paul is a Jewish man. He knows what Lord means. When you are talking to Lord, the question is, what will you have me do? That's the mindset you carry in ministry. What do you want me to do? And how will he tell you what he wants you to do in the local church? By whatever the leadership. Remember, I established that. That's why I started with that. So if we say you are going to go and preach in whatever community, all you are thinking of is, God, if this is what you want, I'm going to do it. That's heart that is willing to do whatever. There are people that don't ever get serious in church until they become leaders. When they are leaders, if you see how committed they will be, how they'll be commanding people, say, you move there, you move there. You guys are not serious. But once he's not a leader, that's why the way this church is structured, everybody in this church that is a leader is being led somehow. You are being led sometimes by the person you are leading elsewhere. Because some of the pastors here are not in charge of their generation. That is very deliberate that I made it that way. But there are people that have become so good, when you see them standing in their leadership capacity, you are seeing the best version of them. But when it is time for them to listen to others, that one does not want to serve God. He just wants to be important. That heart is willingness to do whatever God wants done. If you want me to go and pray, fine. You want us to go and reach out now, fine. You want us to go and wash plates, okay. So that if we pull you tomorrow from expression and say you'll now be in information desk, now let me even say this to you. From time to time, we change departments here. That's the truth. And it is not, don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not every time we change departments that it means we are disciplining you. If I let me even make it clear, I do not use change of department to discipline anybody. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. I don't believe anybody should do it. I see them do it in many churches, and I don't like it. See, a pastor is doing badly in a church, did something bad in a church. You want to discipline him. You now post him to another church in the village to discipline him. So you are posting him to people that are not human beings. So he's doing poor at a church in the city, and to discipline him, you send him to a church in the village. So those ones there are the ones that deserve a bad pastor. If you feel he's doing badly, suspend him. I agree what I'm talking about. I don't believe that. So So if I move you from choir to information desk, he says, because they are trying to teach me a lesson, discipline me. That's not correct. If I want to discipline, you will not sing, you will not usher, you will not information desk, nothing. That's the real discipline. I get to the point. I said, you don't have an information desk. I want you to go and serve in sanctuary team. He said, that disciplining me. I don't believe in that. Too. Every department is important to God. The technical is as important as the media team. They read that scripture to us on Sunday, if you remember. Every part is important in the body. Just like the ear is doing badly, and you want to teach him a lesson, you can put him in the eye. Say, you will now serve as eye. Let me teach you a small lesson. And somebody now has ear in front. Doesn't work like that. So, the character of the anointed, of the man that will serve the Lord, is, Lord, what will you have me do? I was talking to somebody. To start with, I like Eastern Nigeria. I like Southeast. I like Enugu. Now that's not just it's not spiritual thing. Me. I like this place. So supposed to tell you, what if the Lord says you should go to Lagos? I would never. But then I've worked with the Lord for some time to know that with the Lord, never say never. And that's the character, that's the mindset you must carry as someone that wants to walk with God. That God, see what I like. See how Jesus said it. If it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. That's the character, that's the mindset. I thought, best, well, left for me, I will stay here, raise my children here, retire here, live here. I say, but I'm open to God. Just that if he wants me to leave this town, he has to speak to about 5 people. He has to really speak well. Speak to my left ear, my right ear, to my spirit man. Come to me in visions and revelations and talk to other people that matter to me. But once I confirm that it is him, the character of the man that serves is, what do you want me to do? Okay, I should move now. Yes, sir. If he says jump, the question is how high? Now, that's the heart that God wants to work with. So when Paul told Timothy to stay in Ephesus, Timothy didn't say, you didn't even ask me if I like Ephesus. Those people we can do, but that's here. I don't like that village. That's the way they used to do. Now, that's not what Timothy will start complaining about. Okay, I should go to Ephesus. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be there. And for you, it might not be geographical location. It can be God saying, you preach to someone in your street. And maybe the person is asking you to preach to somebody you don't like. Have you ever been hating on the person and God said you should preach to the person? It does not happen to you. Don't worry. You are still working with God. You are still growing your walk with God. That's how God used to do. What's hating on someone? If I tell this story, he will laugh. But it's really happened to me. We normally go for mission work. And that the mission team is big. We are over 100. So they just put us in groups of 3 and 4. You know, just group us and send us different villages. So before they send us, we normally come for training. So we do like 2 days training and then they send us on the last day. So when I came for my second mission work, I saw one guy. The guy looked dirty to me. I'm not gonna lie. He looked very unkempt. And in my mind, I said, I beg, may they not send me with this one. You know the rest of the story. From over 100 people, I said, I beg, let them say, this guy, Jesus. In my mind, I was like, imagine they send you with this kind of person. Can you even breathe in the ass? This is me thinking in my heart. And he that sits in heaven will laugh. What actually was happening is God was trying to tell me that they will send me with that guy. Yes. It's about growing in descending divine leading. But because I already had a bias, I was revolting. Send me with who? God forbid. This one was even bath. I was doing all that in my mind until they began to call names. Those going to, so they called them of the village. They mentioned me. Really mentioned that guy. I wanted to carry myself up and hit my And you think when I went to the guy that I was wrong? I wasn't wrong. He was everything I thought he was. In fact, when I was coming back, you stole my note. Because he begged me for the note. I said, I'm not going to give you. Say, can you beg me for my message note? Note that I've been praying. He said, eh, okay. I prayed so for the mission, I didn't pray it again. I called him. He said, Jiquen, hey, what do you mean? Till today, I've not seen it. Glory to God. But I'm trying to say, you don't, God doesn't do emotions. That's not about God. So I felt like telling him, I told you that this guy will trouble my life. You know, the point about it is, carry that willing heart. Imagine they sent me that guy and I raised my hand to say, if it is this person that's sending me with, I'm not going. Some of you say, I don't want to be in this department because of this person in this department. Better sit down there. If you are thinking like that, you're not even going to leave that department in a long time. Both of you will stay there. For a very long time. Are you following me? But you know, staying with that guy taught me a lot. A lot of tolerance. Yes. Because I had to stay with him in the same room for 1 month. And everything I said it was. But God is faithful. I get to the point. Now, I'm just trying to say, willing heart. It's not about saying, Lord, I'm willing. It shows, what do you want me to do now? Another thing God is looking for, let me just run. In a heart that is going to use, that kind of heart that is available, or ready to be available, rather. That's kind of heart, ready to be available for trainings and for service. You know, God values availability. It's really interesting to know that the first time, availability that means that, what availability? God values your presence. God wants you to always be around. You see, this thing I told you is that God wants to always be seeing your face. He wants you to always be around. He wants to always show up for training and for service. When God called the disciples, I think that's Mark 3 verse 14. I've preached from that a lot. The Bible said he called them that they might be with him and that he might send them. That's Mark 3 14. That they might be with him and that he might send them. So the first reason God calls a man, so that I can be with him. So God wants to be seeing you. That's the same thing we practice in ministry. In fact, the way NLT put this verse, NLT said he called them that they might accompany him. Yes. They were to accompany him. So in other words, every exhaust shows up, they will show up. I follow what I'm saying. If he shows up in Capernaum, they show up. If he shows up in Galilee, they show up. That was why, if you remember, when they now wanted to pick a replacement for Judas, this was one of their criteria. They said this person must have been around from the baptism of John, because that's the major reason Jesus called them, that they will follow him around. So God wants you to be available. That's what I'm trying to say. You have to be around. Around. What I've learned is this. A pastor told me many years ago, he said, beware of people who are not always around. And that thing stuck with me. What I've learned is, if someone is imperfect, but is always around, there is church service, he's there. Saturday prayer, he's there. This one, even if he comes and sees them and starts sleeping, but he's always around. Watch out for that person. Now, I was talking to my people, I said, because some people were misbehaving in church, and some of them have been around for long. And they were like telling me, Daddy, this girl, why are they not adjusting to training? They've been around for a very long time. And I asked them a question. I said, have they actually been around? That we know you. Some people come around for 1 month or 2 months and disappear. After 3 months, they reappear. That is not being around. The disciples of Jesus stayed with him every single day, except times he sent them out for 3.5 years. Just doing nothing, being around. Are you getting the point? So when they wanted to choose the next person to replace Judas, the major thing they looked for is someone that has been around from the baptism of John to the day of ascension. So the person must have been there when John baptized him. The person must have been there when they... In fact, so if on one of those days you said, let me step out and buy something and come back, my head is turning me, you are off. So God values availability. Are you following what I'm saying? I've said this many times. The first training I give people in ministry is the training to be available. That's why we normally tell you, if you will not be around, tell your generation leader you will not be around. Tell your team leader you will not be around. That's the training we are giving. That you cannot just wake up and disappear. And appear. Disappear. And it doesn't work like that. You're not willy-willy. You can't just be... I agree what I'm saying. You can't be like that. You've got to be around. So God wants his people to be around. Very important. Amen. Another thing God is looking for in the heart is a humble heart. A humble heart. I will not say much about this. I've already addressed it. You might note I said, if you are so conscious of yourself and your achievements in the natural, you cannot serve God. If you are so conscious of yourself and your achievements in the natural, you can't serve God. There is a level of humility that you are required people to serve the saints. Because remember I told the ministry to serve saints. And that serve can be anything. And some, if you ever serve people, some saints can be interesting. Some saints can be difficult to serve. But let me even add, don't be that kind of saint. But some saints can be difficult to serve. It's not every saint that you're going to ask to sit here as an usher and he will agree to sit. Some people now then go tell you where they go sit. Are you following me? That's bad though. But it's one of those things you see. So imagine you are someone who is conscious of your achievement. Maybe on the outside, maybe in the secular world, you are a big engineer who is very rich, but you're an usher in church. And you're telling this student who's still in second year, sister, please, can you sit here? He said, I beg. If you are so conscious of your achievements in the natural, you can't do ministry. You can't serve God. Are you getting the point? They put you in information desk. Brother, good evening. Please write your name. Ignore you. Good evening, brother. Please free me now. It's one of the, if you are so conscious, or maybe you're working in the sanctuary team, and then some people are just so uncultured. How hard is it to flush toilets? Now, even if you don't flush toilets in your house, must you bring it outside to the church? But that's what we see. That's why, don't be a bad saint. But that's what we see. See, imagine you are working in the sanctuary team, but you are so conscious of yourself. You're a barrister. I am a sanctuary team. You get in there. Possibly the person that messed the place up is someone that doesn't even have direction in life. But you have to just do it. If you do not have that kind of humble, if you are so conscious of who you are in the natural, you can't serve God in ministry. Not any kind of ministry. Because even evangelism is even worse. You just come with all your glory, just meet somebody and say, good evening, please, can I preach to you? You say, I beg, I don't have time. Sometimes the person telling you, I don't have time, does not even know how busy you are. See, imagine you are someone who is so conscious. That's why you go to so many churches. Once people grow and feel they are now rich, they leave choir, they leave instruments, they leave all of that because they are now something. No, sir. That's not how it works. Do you observe that the disciples of Jesus, you have to allow me, I'm going to take some more time today, just maybe take like 30 more minutes. Amen? Because I don't want to open this matter up today. The disciples of Jesus, and the early Christians, we are not nobodies. Matthew was a tax collector. If you know what that meant in their days. If you watch some of these Jesus movies now, like this was this one that they reacted, The Chosen. You will find out Matthew was wealthy. And they were not just acting. He was a rich man. And what kind of jobs did Jesus give them to do? At one time, Jesus told them to divide people into 50s and share bread to them. At one time, Jesus sent them to go and buy food for him. If you are so conscious of who you are on the outside, you can't do ministry. You read letters of Paul. You see Paul saying, tell Luke to come. You think those guys are just ordinary people. Luke was a doctor. Are you getting the point? Erastus was the city treasurer. We've looked at some of those guys. Some of these guys were quite wealthy. There is one man in the Bible called Gaius. Gaius was a very rich man. Very wealthy man. Very wealthy man in those days. But if you read Paul's letter and how Paul was sending him around. So if you still carry that, do you know who I am? You can't do ministry. Yeah, there are some of you, your leader can't tell you what to do. Because you size the person up. You size your leader up. Before you must attend second service or first service. Or before you leave, you must let me know. Your mind like, who is talking to me? Who is this one? That's why you can't really be effective in ministry. There must be a level of humility you carry in your heart to serve God in church. Because this place, saints as God's people, but they're interesting people. Sometimes simple things, they will show you shaking. They'll show you things. Teaching the children department is another experience on its own. The children will insult you. Let's start with that. Our kids are not insulted, but kids are kids. They will insult you a few times. Sometimes it's not even the children, it's their parents that will go and insult you. Why did you tell my child that thing you told my child? Don't ever try that with my child. I don't tell to my children that way. Don't talk to them that way. Let me even tell you, if you're a parent in this church, don't do that with our children teachers. Are you getting me? Don't do that. If you think you don't want us to take care of them, keep them in your house when coming. Keep them in your house. But that's the reality of the thing. I can't count how many times team leads and even workers, I was driving out one day, one Saturday, and from one department, the girl came crying. It's not like crying in the heart, oh, wailing. I won't tell you the story, but it was painful. What we see in the service of the saints is just there. So if you're not someone that has a very humble heart, someone that is so conscious of who you are, do you know I am the president? Do you know that in my house, I'm the father. They used to give me 3 meats. Are you not talking to me anyhow? If you are so conscious of all those things, you really cannot serve God effectively. I normally tell people, you don't want to survive in church. Whenever you're walking into church, when you get to that door, drop everything you are in the natural and walk in. Walk in like a saint. Walk in like a disciple. Are you getting the point? Walk in just like that. And I want to say it. I say it all the time when I teach on these things. Because of this thing we are teaching here, the people who are really something in this place, especially financially, you won't know them when you see them in this church. All of us are just here serving, chopping all the insults. You know the thing about it? It doesn't reduce anything. It doesn't remove money from your account, or does it? It doesn't. Because you're humble. So when they say it's time to move, you move. Obeying your leader doesn't remove from your account. There are people that you cannot talk to, that are very, very proud people. And they can't do ministry effectively. It's a matter of time they will stop. Because ministry is about being teachable. And being humble is part of being teachable. Being teachable, open to correction. You didn't get that right. You didn't get that right. Okay, sir. I'm going to readjust. I'm not saying when it is coming from me. Because many times I will not come to talk to you. But then there is a team lead. There are people that are talking to you. Have that humble heart. You are your generation, because some of you are not yet in a department. You do your PGTI and all of that. You know? And your team lead says, we are going to come evangelism. Some of you have never showed up for evangelism in your life. Because nobody will go tell me what I go do. And that's the problem. You really can't serve God if people can't tell. That's why I started by that foundation I laid. That it is actually through men that you meet God. So people can't tell you what to do. We can't say we're coming out by 4:30 to go and reach out to that place and you show up. Something is actually wrong. You're actually not serving God. You are serving your intention. You're serving your motive. You know, there's a difference between obedience and agreement. The difference between submission and agreement. There are people that don't ever do anything except it's what they want to do. You're not an obedient person. I mean, they are planned to go to that junction. And you now say, please get something from that junction. They will agree because they will already go in there. You know what obedience is? You are not headed to that junction. You had no plans of going to that junction. But they say you have to show up at that junction. And you are showing up just because it was said. Just because it was said. Not because I had any plans, but because it was said. I should show up. Carry the right heart. Humble. Open to correction, open to teachings, and all of that. Are you following me? Open. And that will take me to the next thing. You must have a heart that is ready to follow. To follow. And when I mean follow, I mean to follow men. Men in authority in the church. God's man. Your pastor. Your leaders. Your minister. A perfect example of this is Joshua. Joshua followed Moses. You know, last year that I taught on Joshua at LMP? Joshua, the portrait of followership. Do you remember that? Yes. Don't look for it on the site. It's not there. Except you register for LMP and they will give you a password to be able to access it. It's on the site actually. Just that some of these are our LMP messages. You can't access them on the site if you are not in the training. Because when you register for LMP, we give you access to messages that others don't have access to. It's one of those things you gain. Amen. I was talking on Joshua, a point of followership. And I showed you Joshua served. Talk of service. Talk of following Moses. He followed him closely. I wish I had time to show you scriptures. Every place you see Moses, you're going to see Joshua. Yes. All the while. In fact, when you see Moses climb the mountain, Joshua climbed with him. All those times Moses spent on Mount Sinai 40 days, Joshua was there. He followed closely. And he showed in his life. He followed closely. If you also observe that Joshua paid attention to the instructions that Moses gave him. Now, what I'm going to show you, even after Moses had died, there's a way to follow. You don't follow him in my presence. Even after Moses had died, give me Joshua 1 verse 7. I'm showing you some scriptures. Joshua, note that in the book of Joshua, Moses had died. So Joshua 1 verse 7, just quickly. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Only be thou, this was God talking to him, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So God, even, watch this. You have to know how God works. So after Moses had died and Joshua was now in charge, God was still referring him to Moses. When you're following a leader, God will always refer you to your leader. God did not tell him, I'm going to give you fresh instructions. Moses had died, right? So let's talk about new things. Everything I told Moses was for Moses. This is a new generation. Men that carry fire. He said, remember everything I told Moses. Go and study what I told Moses. And that's how he lived his life. In chapter 11 of Joshua and verse 15. Chapter 11 verse 15. And as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. Watch this. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Everything God told Moses, Moses told Joshua. Joshua did everything. So look at this again. As the Lord commanded Moses, so did Moses command. So did God give Joshua any instruction directly? No. The only instruction he gave him in Genesis, in Joshua 1, was to follow the instruction he gave to Moses. So everything Joshua knew about walking with the Lord was what he told Moses. Is someone getting what I'm talking about? That's how to follow. That's how to serve. And so did Joshua. Now give me like NLT. He left nothing undone. NLT, Unity Translation. He said, as the Lord had commanded the servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua. And Joshua did as he was told, carefully obeying all the commands that the Lord had given to Moses. All. So Joshua didn't come up with his own revelation. Or with his own. This was after Moses had died though. That's why I said you cannot serve God out of eye service. Because if Joshua was doing all this out of eye service, Moses had died now. He was now in charge. He was answering to nobody. But do you know, even in Moses' death, Joshua was still answering to Moses his instructions. That's why you don't get to your department or to your generation and you do your thing. Say, pastor is not here. Or if the center pastor in the center, you're just doing your own thing. Because pastor is not here. I can come in anytime I like. I can leave anytime I like. I can see anything I want to teach. That's not how to serve. Are you following me? Yes, that's not how to serve. You can't serve like that. So, he wasn't going to the Lord to say, Father, give me new instructions. He just took what Moses, what he told Moses and started doing it. So God has said, I want everybody around your neck to begin to reach out to your neck. There's a generation there. I think that's Kerosu generation. Right? That's Kerosu generation there. Now, the sister in this church in your neck does not need to hear from the Lord again. The Lord coming to his room to say, my son, I have sent you to your neck. As a Kerusu, you don't need to hear that. And you can confidently, some of you don't get it, you can confidently stand before anybody and say, the Lord told me to preach in your neck. And they say, how did the Lord tell you? He told my pastor. I'm not saying that is how it works in your life. In your own life, you must learn how to hear God and flow divinely. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when it comes to doing ministering the local church. So Joshua followed Moses, paying attention to his instructions. This same chapter 11, verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance. You know, I want to see what is happening here. Oh God. Before Moses died, Moses, they've not entered promised land. But Moses had divided the land, how it is going to be when they enter there. So when they finally conquered the land, Joshua didn't do any fresh division. I get what I'm saying. He didn't say, well, Moses is not here now. He's not here. You know, he spoke in his own realm and his own level of understanding. Revelation is in levels. It's progressive. So all that Joshua did as a great leader was just, what did they tell Moses to do? Oh yeah. I'm done. And God commended him for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I notice with this, what I'm showing you, ministry is actually easy. Because you don't have to stress to begin to say, Lord, what is it you are telling me? I used to tell my wife, I say, sometimes when you see me start awake at night, seeking the Lord, it's because I don't need to hear for myself only. I have to hear for many people. Do you understand the point? So when the Lord tells us, these are our year of signs and wonders, you don't go and say, well, for me, it's my year of wondrous things. You understand the point? Amen. He said, because even as pastor is a man of God, I'm also a man of God. That is the truth. That's the truth. You're also a man of God. You still carry the anointing. You might even be more anointed than me. But there is order. Do you understand? And if you really feel that you are very well anointed, and this is not actually, I'm saying to everybody in good faith. If you're in any church, you feel you are very anointed and you cannot answer to anybody, well, check your heart to see if God has called you to start a church. Say amen. And when you check it and he has called you, start one. It will help. Because to be in a system and saying, oh, like, nobody got anywhere to go do, you're actually causing trouble. And the worst part of it is, you're actually not serving God. Because the secret is this, you can't serve God on your terms. You know, I've said that many times. You can serve him on his terms. That's why I'm showing from the Bible. You can't serve him. It's not about what I want or what you want. It's about what he wants. It's how he wants to be served. For instance, look at this church. In this church, we say we put you in departments. Because I've shown you from the Bible, that's how God does it. But you know there are many churches where they don't do that. And God is still there. And the member of that church where they don't do that, listening to me now, should not go back to his church and start telling his pastor, you are doing it wrongly. How they do is that you are meant to put us in departments. If the pastor says that's not how it's going to be, then respect it. God will reward you for obedience and for being a good follower. And you have results in ministry like that. You have results. Because what you don't realize is that God factored in even the spiritual growth and level of your pastor before he put him over you. Don't forget this thing I said. What it means is that, if I say this now, some of you might just get angry. But let me say it. Don't stop me. What it means is that whatever your pastor has not mastered now in his work with God, you don't need it now. That's what it means. Because if you need it now, God doesn't do disorder. Are you following what I'm talking about? Which is also why a pastor must be growing spiritually, consistently. Are you following me? Whatever has not mastered now, you don't need it now. I hear people that say, I'm in this church, but I need to, there's something I'm learning from another place. Is it that God has not sent you to this church, or he has sent you to that place, or you are confused? Because sometimes when you feel your pastor doesn't know things, sometimes it's not that he doesn't know those things. Speaking for myself now, it's because he has not been permitted to teach those things. In the past how many years now, since this church started, I can tell you, I've never done one serious teaching. I've done a few, maybe things like Antichrist and Antichrist, but deep eschatology, I've not done it. I have notes on eschatology, but I've not done it. I've not been allowed to talk about it. Are you following me?
Yes.
You say, why? You don't need it. But if you feel you need it, it's okay. I get what I'm saying. So what's eschatology? You see, you don't even know the meaning. That's why you don't need it. Do you know what eschatology is? Tell your neighbor if you know. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor if you know. I'm not going to tell you. Tell you. Do you know what eschatology is? So they never say anything. I'm about to be looking at yourselves. Hallelujah. So, you see what Joshua did. Whatever that was told Moses, he just followed it. One thing I found about Joshua in following, he had no crazy desire for fame. There is something wrong with our generation, even with pastors. And I want to correct it to you, because I can't correct the whole body of Christ, because it will be hard to correct it. We interpret fame as spiritual height. So, Bro Jeremiah now is a singer. But there is another singer that is popular on Instagram. We don't want to care Bro Jeremiah's level. All we know is that if that one on Instagram is popular and is on billboards, it's because he is more mature than Bro Jeremiah. That's not true. And that's why there is a problem. So if we want to invite people, we invite people because they're popular. So we're looking at, we judge people's spiritual weight by their fame. So, sit. If I want to be a father in the body of Christ now, I can be. Yes. I'll just call Ogemde. Call some of these my media guys. We sit down, plan out something on Instagram. I start eating Instagram and TikTok and all of that back to back. If I have a plan, if I run it for 3 months, I'll become a father. In the body. Because everybody will now know me. And once everybody knows you, you have weight. Sincerely, and this is not to form anything. When I hear people that are popular, when I hear them talk, some people are actually empty. And then you go to the comment section. You see another level of emptiness. I'm not against fame. At least I have small fame. Small. And if the Lord wills, we'll have more. But it's not my headache. And it cannot be your headache if you walk with the Lord. Yes, obviously, lead pastors tend to be more famous than other people. The reason is, just like in the body, there are some parts of the body that are more popular than other parts of the body. For instance, you know your head more than you know your kidney. And it's okay. It doesn't mean the kidney is less important. Are you getting the point? But this fight for fame, this fight for popularity, is so deep in the body of Christ that's how we define spiritual maturity. The thing used to make me, used to bother me. A pastor, an elder in the body now, proper father in the body, not emergency fathers. A proper father in the body of Christ was telling us about a particular gospel minister. Gospel singer. He told us that I don't believe this lady is born again. And he didn't tell me direct. He was telling somebody that I listened to. And he said, the reason I have nothing against her. He said, but she grew up. This is a very popular artist. All of you know her. See, she grew up in our city. We know her to be involved in all these traditional and fetish things. And she used to sing in their culture, in their festivals. He said, I'm not saying that person cannot change. It's just that we cannot trace when she changed. We can't actually find any distance between, because it's just like we saw her sing in this festival today, and by next week, we began to see her sing in churches. So when did she get born again? When was she discipled? When did she grow? But today we call her mommy. And then she puts that on people. Receive, receive. And that's what you didn't find in Joshua. Do you know that even after Joshua died, Joshua never referred to himself as a man of God? Yes, even after Moses died. This will interest you. Never. Amen. Let me show you some scriptures. Joshua 8:35. He kept referring people to Moses. There was not a word of all the Lord, of all that God commanded, which Joshua read not. Watch this. So throughout his life, he was reading what God commanded Moses to the Israelites. Joshua 22 verse 5. Because of our time. Joshua 22 and verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses the servant. So he kept referring people to Moses. Everything. Moses the servant of the Lord. He kept telling them. Joshua, if you read the book of Joshua, you will not see Joshua called servant of God. You will see him called, even in the book of Joshua, the servant of Moses. So he wasn't interested, even when he had become the leader. That wasn't the interest. Do you get what I'm saying now? It wasn't. Of course, was Joshua popular? He was popular. But that wasn't his edict. Every time he meets with them, he said, do you remember what Moses told you guys? Remember what Moses told you guys, Abi? That's what he kept doing. Remember Moses said, that's hard. 23 verse 6, Joshua. 23 verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. So every meeting he had with them, he will talk about Moses. He says, so he doesn't want to be popular. He's not brand. That's not branding. You know, ministry is now branding. What I just explained to you a few minutes ago is branding. If I, there's a way we can brand now, they will know us. Amen. There is fame that God gives. The Bible said that Jesus' fame spread round. God gives prominence. God gives visibility. Do you understand the point? God does, for real. I've seen people that God gives. You know, sometimes when I look at all these fathers of faith, look at Pastor Deboye, Edepo, and the rest of them, you know, I'm amazed at how far God has done with them, or God did with them, how much visibility God gave them when there was no internet. Think about that. There was no Facebook. They'll just sing, preach where they are, and everywhere begins to shake. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. Amen. But today we have emergency fathers. Now I am a father, but only to you. I'm not a father in the body of Christ yet. Say amen. Maybe one day I will be. Definitely I will be one day because I'm growing. Amen. When that occurs, people will know. I'm not a fan of the word of Christ yet. And it's not because I'm popular or I'm not popular. It's just what it is. I've seen some people that are very popular, and I kid you not, they're very popular. And you know, when I interact with them, I just talk with them. Sometimes when they come out, they come close and hear you talk. One said, you know all these things. How about you? I said, yes. He said, well. He said, you're not putting yourself out there. I said, it's okay. I said, I'm not hiding myself either, am I? He said, you know what I mean. And I know what he was talking about. Most of this, I can mention three popular blogs, church blogs, that if I call them, and give them 20,000 naira. Our videos will be posted there every day for like 2 months. I'm not saying it's bad though. If God says you should do it. But that's what he was talking about. And once they carry those videos, you become a father in the body. But that's not the kind of way I learned ministry. Let God give us the fame that he wants to give us. Do you understand the point? But that's Moses. That's Joshua. So you are in this local church. You are not fighting for attention, fighting to be seen. There are people in church that are waiting for the day their pastor will give them mic to preach. Because they just want to be seen. Joshua was just fine, following Moses up and down. He said, I joined this church. All that I've been doing, all I've been doing is scrubbing church. So when will my own time come? Your time has come. That's what you don't realize. And this is your time. You are doing what you should do. And it is fine.
People always preach about how, you know, when I used to be an usher, now God has made me a pastor. Do you have sense? Yes, you can be called to be a pastor. You can start as an usher and eventually your pastoral calling gains prominence. But it doesn't mean that the pastoral is a graduation from ushering. This is actually not true. I don't agree with it. Not all ushers become pastors. And it's fine. So, learning basic mission of how to serve the Lord. Again, you see that Joshua received correction from Moses. And he took it well. You know, in Numbers 11:28, Moses had laid hands on 70 elders and they were prophesying. But there were two young men. Because they were meant to be 70, but he laid hands on only 68. There were two men, Elder than Medad. Have you heard of them? Elder than Medad. They did not show up for a good reason. Moses was aware. They didn't show up to that camp where Moses was doing the thing. But when Moses released the flow, some of you that attended, when I was teaching the online church, I referred to this story. When Moses released the flow, because I was using this story to teach that you can be absent from a meeting and still be connected to the meeting. Amen. Now, Moses released the flow. From where they were, they caught it and began to prophesy too. So Joshua ran to Moses and told Moses, stop them. Verse 28. You know, he became overzealous that day. He said, Moses, some guys are prophesying. They are not here and prophesying. Do we stop them? Moses rebuked him. Moses told him, verse 29, are you jealous for my sake? Are you fighting for me? He said, don't you know that I even want every of God's people to become prophets? Moses shunned him. That's how it is. That's actually what it is. And Joshua did not pick offense that day to step out. Say, I'm telling you to rebuke people. You don't want to rebuke them. You're just embarrassing me before everybody. That's followership. So when you see that Joshua followed Moses, he wasn't a perfect person all through. But see that humble heart, that of followership, he could take the correction. Are you following what I'm saying? So that I wish that all the lost people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And that ended the matter. Just give me verse 30. So you see that it ended the matter. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the others. There was no other talk. Give me like an NLT of this verse. Moses went to the camp. Simple. He just told him and left. There was no talk. You get the point? There are some of you that when they correct you, have to explain the correction to you. So that you don't get angry. See, the reason we had to talk to you that way was because you are still a baby. Moses did not pet Joshua. Just told him. That same thing Jesus did to Peter. Peter called him and said, you will not die in Jesus' name. Because Jesus was saying, I was going to die. He said, you know that. He just said, get behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that are of the kingdom. But when they correct in King James English, is strong. Get thee behind me, Satan, thou savourest not the things that are of the kingdom. Simple. No explanation. No, I hope you're not angry. I hope you know why I spoke to you that way. It's not because I want to embarrass. No explanation. So you see the heart of those guys. That's why it was easy for them to serve the Lord and serve the saints. Are you learning? And I would say maybe one last thing, or second to the last thing, or third to the last thing. But God is helping us. I'm grounding up already. There must be a heart that is sacrificial. 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 I have to add this because maybe they've not told you. Ministry to the saints is sacrifice. It will cost you your time. If you are not a sacrificial person, you can't do this ministry to the saints. You can't. Do you know how many days I spend in this church every week? Do you know that of all those days I'm spending in this church, do you know there are people who are spending that time with me in this church? Not of their own free will. Well, because they have to. Do you know how long we stay sometimes? Sometimes when you are in your house jumping up and down, there are people here cleaning the place, making it fine. Do you know there's going to be 30 days of light? Do you know you are bothered about the fact that are we going to come here for every 30 days? Hey! Do you know there are people that will be serving here? That will be coming here early every day to clean the church and arrange it every day for 30 days. It's sacrifice. If you do not carry a sacrificial heart, you actually cannot serve the saints. It must take from you. It's painful that we have people that want to do ministry, but they don't want to take anything from them. Peter told Jesus in Mark chapter 10, he said, Lord, we have left all to follow you. Now that sacrifice, it will cost you your time. It will cost you your strength. Your strength. It will cost you your strength. Can I add, it will cost your resources. Resources. In many ways. It will cost you resources. So, you spend money. Sometimes you spend money in giving. Sometimes it's not in giving. It is in many things that you know you wouldn't have spent money on. For instance, let me talk about giving, for instance. We had Man Up and Perfect Lady. I called the ministers and leaders together and I told them, I said, for this Man Up and Perfect Lady, I want you people to be the one to sponsor this program. I will announce it in church for another person that wants to add anything, but it is you guys I want to sponsor it. Now, is it because they are the richest people in church? No. But because that's what they demand, to cost you some things. I do it with the pastor sometimes, or ministers. Something might be going on and I say, you guys are the ones handling this one. We don't want to announce it to the church. Are you following me? So when you see me pray for my leaders and pray for my workers, that they will be rich, they will prosper. I'm not being materialistic. There is a lot of sacrifice going. Are you getting the point? Apart from giving, there are other things too. If you're in desperation, you have to be buying many uniforms you don't need. You have to buy many clothes that you don't have bought on a very good day. It's one of those things. Then every other department, ushers, information desk, greeters. Amen. So technically, I don't want to wear uniform. And media. I think we should wear uniform. But somebody is wondering, why are they wearing all this uniform? Why is ushers wearing uniform? Can't you just rest? You don't like the order it brings to the system. You don't like the order it brings to the place. And one of the reasons why ushers and all this will wear uniform is not just because of the order. But then, if you know how it helps, that when a first timer walks in here, he knows who to talk to ask something. I get the point. There's a reason these things are done. And even if you don't know the reason, it's fine. But it's going to cost you. Now, think of many other things. Sometimes it will cost you some traveling. Some traveling. Are you following the point? People that are in the protocol team now, anytime I move, they move. And for most of the time, they're fending for themselves, paying for the ticket by themselves. Because I pay for my own by myself. So why you guys look at me like that? I get what I'm saying now. Most of the time, they're fending for themselves. And that's just, so it's going to cost you once you're ready for the thing to cost you. Sometimes your sleep, at least you can relate with that one too. And many other things. Sometimes your dignity. Quote it. But there is dignity. You know what I mean by dignity? Sometimes you insult yourself in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of those things. With joy. Yes. One thing you should never do is to complain. No. There is no need for that. So, that, we're talking about the right heart. That heart that wants to sacrifice. Sacrifice your time. You're a student here, for instance. Being in the midst of our Lord Jesus Christ would mean that you will sleep shorter than every other student. Because you still have to pass your exams as a student and come out as the best. Because we're also expecting that. But you still have to serve. So when your friends are reading and doing whatever, sometimes you are in church attending to a few things. What does that mean? When you go home, that time that they spend, use your own time, read too. That, by the way, that's why when I was in school and even till now, I really don't have time for too much frivolities. You will hardly come to the compound where I live and see me sitting outside gisting with people. And it's not because I'm antisocial. Hardly. Sitting and gisting. Chelsea. You know why? Because now I'm gisting. The next minute you guys will go and start reading. Then I will head to church. Are you getting the point? Then by the time I'm coming back from church, I'm coming back tired. You guys are awake, reading.
I don't do that. So when you guys are gisting, me, I'll be inside. So you see, he's now demanding some sort of discipline. Are you following me, friends? But it's for the king and his kingdom. Are you guys following me? So the right heart. And let me give you some counsels. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. And use everything you have. Use all of yourself. Use your talents. Let me tell you one of the things you should begin to do. Bring your talents to church. Bring your skills to church. That is something you can do. Bring it. Now we are building. You find out that, okay, I'm good at carpentry. Is there a place I can help? Bring your talents. Bring your skills. You get the point? So we'll put you in a place. We'll find out that you have some training in some of these things. We're going to use it. For instance, by the time we start doing our crusades and begin to do free medical outreach and all of that, who do you think will champion it? All these doctors and nurses in this place. And they are going to do it free. Amen. Unto the Lord. Say amen. Unto the Lord. Now, free doesn't mean that if the Lord prospers us, that we cannot appreciate them. We can do that. They can finish and we'll say, well done, guys. I appreciate them. I believe that God is going to bring us to that point of resources. Yes. Where we will not pay our workers quite all right, but from time to time, there should be certain compensations that should go to workers. Because it takes a lot. And if you are here listening to me and not a worker, this teaching is meant to make you want to work. Make you want to be a worker. Because actually, there's a lot with it. But let me close with that. There is the blessing of service. There's a lot that comes with service. I can give you four of them quickly. Just very quickly. Four of them. One, when you meet Jesus, you'll be rewarded. That is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. When we meet Jesus, he will reward us. Hebrews 6 verse 10. He said, God is not unrighteous. He said, he will not forget your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. What is that labor of love? In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So if you are ministering to the saints, serving the saints, God will not forget. So when you meet him, there will be a reward. So let's start with that. So everything we are doing is not in vain. And believe you me, I love the Lord and all of that. But if all of this we are doing is in vain, I don't think many of us will be doing it too. Because I know there is a reward. So what is the reward? Let me tell you my greatest reward I'm looking forward to. When I meet Jesus, you see that statement. Well done, good and faithful servant. If I hear that one, he has made my eternity. This is made my day. This is why he made my eternity. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's how we walk the way we walk. It's good to know that our Father is pleased with what we are doing. What other reward, for instance, what's other blessedness of serving the saints? Joy. You know, there is joy in knowing that you are aiding the spread of the word and the growth of the saints. There is joy in knowing that by these seats I'm cleaning, by what I'm doing, church is going to function well, and on Sunday, hundreds of people are going to troop into church and are going to be blessed because I played my part. I played my part. This service is running today because I played my part in my own way. I just made sure that these seats were fine. I made sure that this place was arranged. I made sure that we documented them to everybody that came here. I made sure I played my part. If someone gets pressed in this service, he can go use the toilet because I played my part. That's joy. Should be fulfilling. It should be enough. And another joy, another blessedness of service, for instance, I can tell you, is the privilege of learning. The things you learn when you serve in God's house are too much. You know, Joshua learned so much from Moses. I won't have time to get into that. But he learned so much. He learned how to lead. He learned leadership. He learned many things. Many things. The major thing Moses didn't get right. If you listen to that teaching I mentioned, the major thing Moses didn't get right, Joshua corrected it in a way, in his own life. You know when Moses wanted to send leaders, Moses sent how many men? When he wanted to send people to go and spy the land, he sent 12 spies. And when those 12 spies came back, watch what I'm going to show you. They came and 10 of them spread an evil report. And that's how they got pinned in Canaan, in the promise, in the wilderness. They didn't take it. It was that thing that pinned them in promised land. Because God told them, none of this generation that walked in unbelief will enter. All of them had to die. And the other generation that were kids had to grow up to a certain age before they continued that journey. You don't know what I'm saying. You don't know how heavy this was. So when Joshua was to do his own, Joshua didn't send 12 men. Joshua sent 2 men. And when Joshua sent the 2 men, when they came back, they didn't talk to the Israelites. They spoke to him. He addressed the Israelites. Now, that's a lot of... It's simply that I told you now is a lot of wisdom. Because if Moses had told those guys, come and tell me in my room, and then I'm telling him, you know, I say, this is not correct. So they will fight in the room. He will correct them. Maybe those 10 guys maybe would have died because of unbelief. But not the entire... Because I get to the point, because it will be Moses that will communicate it to them. That the people we sent have come back, and I can tell you, God will give us this land. Because faith and doubt is a portion of what you hear. And who is speaking to you. So Joshua did something differently. And I really appreciated when I saw that. I said, wow, that's good. He sent only two of his trusted guys. When those two came back, they told him, he told Israel. He didn't say, don't address. And that's what I've learned in leadership too. That chapter, it blessed me so much. That's why there are certain things we want to do. My leaders will tell you. Make things that want, if you want to do something in this church now, observe it. That we've not done before. I am always the first to announce it. Yes. It's after I announce it the first day. I'm teaching some people that will do ministry, that will be pastors. It's after I announce it the first day that other pastors can now put it in their announcement. I've not observed. If I want to announce that Zoe is going to be held on so day, it's me that will first announce it, announce the dates, announce the details. Other pastors will now come upon this and begin to retreat it. It's from this scripture I learned it. Be the first to communicate, because that first hearing is important. Many of us are expecting spiritual help now. We are in faith because of how we presented it. There is a way the first petition would have gone is to kill. And I'm teaching some of you that even own companies. You want to challenge your staff to do something, be the one to say it. They are the one carrying the vision. Are you going what I'm saying? Are you going to follow me at all? Be the one to say it. Don't let it start spreading as rumor. Don't let Mr. A tell Mr. B, say, did you hear that? They say we want to dig another borehole. It's a borehole. The other one we dig, that's not even started working. I want to dig another one. Where are we going to see money? We are in minus, so the account is not balancing. It's already spreading as rumor. So when you are now coming to talk to them, you are fighting all the ideologies that are in their brain. Are you getting the point? But imagine you are the first person to say, you know, we have a new vision. We've checked, even though the last borehole we dug has not worked. But we found a way, a smarter way, a better way to make this one work. And I tell you, when we dig this borehole, it will increase our revenue times 10. You show them, people are accepting it. Faith is steering, in their heart. Are you following me? That's what Joshua did. That's what Moses didn't do. But do you know, I am the one discovering this thing for myself in the Bible. Joshua never said Moses was wrong. Do you observe? I'm now the one studying and saying, okay, he never came out and said, there's something I saw Moses that did, this did wrong. Go. We are the new generation. We'll correct it. He never did that. But I'm just saying, when you serve in God's house, you learn so much. You learn from what you see, what he said, and what's not even said. Okay, let's even go, before I go to the spiritual, think of the secular things. Think of leadership. Many people here are learning how to lead. And I've told you guys that story. How one guy went abroad, he applied for a job, and when they came for the training for the job, they put them in groups, and they did things. So, they picked him out. I'm very serious stuff. I think I heard it from Pastor Kwaju also. So they picked him out and told him, we want to pick you, but we've looked at all your strengths, everything you wrote down, and all the experiences you say you have. With all the, you know, they'll tell you, where have you worked before? He said, but there is a trait you have, but it's not reflected. We don't know where you got it from, because all the experiences on your CV is not showing it. So he told him, I don't know what they're saying. He said, you are a leader. So they asked him, have you ever led anything organized? He said, okay, there was a time we were doing a youth thing in our church. They said I should coordinate it for like 1 year. They say that's where it's coming from. He picked some strong leadership things, some problem-solving skills. You know, being a leader in church gives you problem-solving skills. You don't even know half of it. Because as a leader, you'll be facing problems. Sometimes you have somebody under you who doesn't want to come to church, who doesn't want to listen to you. And you're thinking, what do I do now? If I call, she will not pick. You're thinking, problem solving skills. Think of many other things you learn as a worker here. So it gives you a chance to learn. Think of the secular things you learn too. I'm still talking about that. Some of you that sing now in the choir, you know how you were sounding 2 years ago and how you sound now. Learning it for free. Some of you that are in the media team, exploring with our camera. Using our camera for practice. Funny thing is, you will not admit that you've never touched camera before you joined this church. But you use our own to learn. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? You know, we did, I can even tell many stories here. Okay, you know Brochema does graphic design, right? I did learn graphic design. I'm telling you how you learn graphic design. Why? Foundation, Shabbos Foundation, we used to do design. We used to give, there are some people that used to do designs for us. Those guys are blessed. Then one day he just called me. One day he said, I've been learning this graphic design thing. Can I design? Let me just design something. Many other people, game day now. That's the same thing. This one is now eating money with video editing. How his first design was, I think he saw a video that Prochima did. Abi, yes. Those 2018, he did a video. Prochima did the video after that. He did that. Game day saw it and said, he wanted to try it out. Tried it out. And then from there, I think Pastor Jovi said he should design some. Right? Am I right? He should do a video and did that. And then from there, that particular skill now he learned here is the major thing. The company is running, everything he has is that thing. Now, and there are many other things like that. Many things you are picking up. Many of you now that, you are using our amplifier to... you are playing with our amplifier. You're using it to practice. I always ask, which other association, if not church, will let you play with their things? You're learning. There's one young boy, I don't think he was in this church. That boy that's our camera. I tell him, I have to tell them, people should ban that from touching our camera. He was handling it in many ways. In many ways. I have to tell them, tell that boy. He was handling it. I don't know why you guys are laughing. He's not the person on your mind. Delete that person from your mind. Or he might still be right. But that's just how it works. So when people say, what has church even done for me? I've been going to church all the time. Serving in church. Nothing to show for it. There are many things to show for it. You are just not being sincere. Some people complain. They always tell us to wear this and wear that. Did you even know how to dress before? Let's not go there. It's not us that is not helping your life. You should be thanking us. You are saying, wear that thing. But for some of you, if not, I were telling some of these guys, if not, I were telling you to wear this and wear that, God will help you. Because we're wearing nika. Those that wear nika. But you know, once a young guy does your one and buys car, he buys many nika. You know, observed? Short nika. Very normal on the street. But that's a whole lot, man. Talk of your spiritual life getting better. You know, I tell this to you. I learned this very early. Any place I find myself, church ministry, I always want to do whatever it takes to get to the part of that ministry where I will begin to serve. Yes. First, I joined fellowship in school. I always tell this story. The first day I entered, I asked them, where's your foundation school? How can I start? Because I really want to get to that part where I'll begin to serve. Yes. I always look forward to it. Because I know that the best of any ministry is in the service. Yes. Actually. And that's why I'm going to say the last thing. Last thing now. There's a portion in the anointing for those who serve. And I've explained this many times. There is a portion in the anointing. You know, you can be shouting, I receive. Miracles is for all.
Healing is for all. You don't need to serve to receive it. Even an unbeliever can receive it. But there is a portion in the anointing of a called man for only people who serve. What Elisha received from Elijah, anybody cannot receive from outside. What Joshua got from Moses, if you like, lie on Moses like I'm shouting, what are all those things they shout? Say, we've come to draw. Sing it next year. He will put his hands on you. You will receive some things. But you see that thing Joshua received, it's not for you. It's not for you. There's a portion of the noise for people that serve. Check your Bible. Every heavy impartation, there was relationship, there was service. Can I check? So even when I say, all of you, take it, everybody falls. We don't all get the same thing. Graces that rub up on us are not the same. Are you following me? What Elisha got, the average Israelite cannot get it from Elijah. He cannot. It flows. So that's why, you see what Jesus did with the disciples? He made them serve him and serve people for long. Maybe at LMP, I'm going to explain this and I'm going to say it now. The way he started with them, Jesus did not call his disciples first and start making them leaders. In fact, the first thing God does with people is that he places you over things. Food. Bread. That's how he does. But they were serving. Are you following me? And eventually, how come Stephen never became a man full of power until he was picked as one of the seven deacons? He was picked in Acts 6, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6. They put this on him and set him in the office. Verse 8, Stephen, a man full of power. How come? There's a portion in the anointing for only people that serve. Are you getting the point? Then that's Acts chapter 8. Chapter 6 rather. By Acts chapter 8, a new person comes on board. His name is Philip. Still one of those deacons. How come it was after they began to serve that those graces began to manifest in their life? There's a portion for people that serve. And I can tell you this thing forever. Are you following me? And it's just God, because graces are transferred through service. There are certain graces that will not just come except to serve in a place. When we talk about serving the anointing, I'm not saying cleaning the shoe of the man of God. When you are serving as an usher here, you are serving the anointing. When you are serving as a technical person, serving the anointing. That is the grace that comes when that happens. Are you following me? So just coming around and hanging around and shouting and receiving. That's what people don't realize. They just go from place to place, allowing every man of God to put hands on them. I can tell you, if you pick a place, how did McCarkins put it? That's Reverend McCarkins. He said, find a local church and pour yourself into it. He said, that is the will of God for your life. Find a local church, pour your life into it. That's God's will for your life. And that's where you now begin to see certain abilities begin to show forth. To start with, there are many abilities that will not show forth to your life until you begin to serve. Because if you are not serving, you don't need them. For instance, talk of the mystery of divine wisdom. There's a level of wisdom that you do not need. You don't serve in the church. Where will you execute it? Where do you need it? It's not when you are working as a leader in church and there is a situation. That's when you will need it. So why will God give it to you? You don't need it for anything. There are some of you here that will begin to function. You know, you find out that when you talk to people, you just have the right words. You can counsel people out of any situation. But those things will not suddenly flow in your life, because come on, if it flows, where will you need it? Where will you use it? In your workplace, I be in your family. It's only your family will be counseling. But then begin to serve in the church. You will have the opportunity. Maybe in your generation, there are about 100 people or 40 people in your generation. And there are people having issues. That's where your leader can now send you and say, go and talk to those people. Talk to them out. Go and see what is happening. And you now find out that there is a problem. The anointing is becoming useful. There is a portion in the anointing for people that serve. So I'm closing by saying to you, serve the Lord here. Serve the Lord here. And not just here. If you're listening to me and not a part of our church, and you have a church, stop being worker pass in your church. Don't just walk past your church. Serve. And somebody's asking me, if all of us start serving, Who are we now going to serve? If we all start serving, we'll go and get people that will serve. And all those people will start serving too. And we'll get others that will serve. Because the whole point is that everybody's going to become a minister. Someone that will serve. And if, say, so what if the whole world, ridiculous thing, what if the whole world now starts coming to us and all of them start serving? We'll start serving ourselves. I serve you, serve me. And once that happens, Jesus will show up. Yes, Jesus will come. Yes, once that happens, the rapture of the church will happen. Immediately. Because there is no more soul to save. So you know, you don't know why Jesus is keeping us on earth here. It's that we can save some more men. I can remember, that's the truth too. That can save some. That's why I tell you guys, the church of Jesus Christ is the salt of the earth. What do I mean? We are the preservation of this earth. There are many things that will not happen on this earth because the church is here. If rapture happens, you'll find out what I'm saying. Let me tell you, the minimized evil on earth is because of the presence of the church in this place. There's anything that will not let happen on earth. The church is here. I'm here. You are here. I don't know what is leading us to this, but I'm telling you for real. There's anything, crisis that cannot happen. Those things are toned down to where they are because we are here. When the elect goes, as when we leave this earth, we will see wickedness. Because there is no pastor to preach. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no fruit of this. There is nothing. Everybody is just doing their own thing. You will not see how hard, how wicked man's heart is. People that are saying that they don't need church on earth, when church goes, they will know that they really need church. See, you don't need pastors. Go read your Bible. Any land where a church exists, no matter how imperfect that church is, it drops the crime rate in that community to a significant degree. So how do you know? I've read materials, and can I tell you, I've gone to a community where there was no single church. I know the difference. I've gone to two communities where there was no single church. No single church. Not Catholic, not I, no church. If you see, thick, you know what I'm saying? Gross darkness. You don't need to be spiritual to see it. Gross darkness. The poverty rate was high. Let's even start from there. And they were busy killing themselves. With every form of wickedness. And glory to God, I planted the first church in those communities. That's what took me there. Yes. First church. I follow him. So serve the Lord. Serve the Lord in his church. Don't care what people are saying. No. Those are the church people that are using you. You should be used. If God doesn't use you, it means you are useless. Is that not what to pray? Oh Lord, use me. So when next time they say, your pastor is using you, he said, that's actually what I prayed for. Then you go weak them. Then your pastor is using you, people. Actually. That's what I trusted God for, that one day a pastor is going to use me. Because if you cannot be used, you are useless. But I'm not useless. So next time you are praying, oh Lord, use me. What you are saying is, Lord, I want my pastor and my fellow saints in church to use me. And that's what you are doing. So do you still want to be used of God? Let me see your hand. Let me be sure you want God to use you. God will use us for his glory. Were you blessed today? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.